This sermon on Ephesians 4, verse 17 to chapter 5, verse 2, was recorded at our Robena congregation on Sunday, March 10, 2019. It's titled One Body. For more information on Salt Church, visit us online at www.salt.church.
Well, friends, if you've got your Bible there, let's go. I must admit, I've not watched a lot of TV lately, but even when the telly's on, I've not been engaged with what's on the screen. I couldn't help noticing recently, though, that most TV reality shows are pretty much the same. I mean, the stories are all different, but the ideas and concepts are identical. Our culture, our society is obsessed with transformation. The story's about complete turnaround, rising to the top, prevailing against all the odds, defeating all opponents. And my guess is most of us don't even realise it. We're not paying attention to the stories we're being told. We love stories with happy endings. We love the tale of total transformation. Let me give you a couple of examples. The Block is a TV show about renovations, the transformation of a house from a home, from a hovel into a home. The Biggest Loser is a TV show about personal transformation, the journey from self-loathing to self-obsession. At this time next year is a TV show hosted by Karl Stefanovic, which should be enough to tell you about it already. But it's about personal stories of change and conquest, overcoming the obstacles, achieving personal goals. Hell's Kitchen is a B-grade celebrity, is about B-grade celebrities in a kitchen trying to win the approval of a grumpy old chef, clearly topping up his super by diminishing his dignity. It's about overcoming the obstacles and not being able to cook and seeing who wins out in the end. Australian Survivor is a transformation show of ordinary people being transformed into uncivilized savages. Australia's Ninja Warrior, not just about beating an obstacle course, but all the obstacles contestants have to beat in order to get onto the show. The show would be half as long and twice as interesting if they removed all the backstories. True Stories with Hamish and Andy are all narrative, another program of transformation and overcoming adversity. And finally, Married at First Sight. Well, who really knows what that show's about? Now, I'm sorry if I've unravelled the plot line and sport your favourite secret viewing indulgence. I wouldn't want to own up to watching Married at First Sight either, even though 1.3 million people do. But I think the point I'm trying to make here is we all love stories of transformation, overcoming the odds and being changed. I mean, all these shows, they rate through the roof, don't they? The renovation, the makeover, the new you. We love stories about them because ultimately these stories are about us. We can relate to them. We see ourselves in the characters. We read ourselves into their situation. These stories are deeply personal because they reveal our common human condition. All these stories about transformation, all these TV programs about overcoming the odds. But all these stories about and our love for them find their ultimate inspiration in the story that God's telling us. The book of Ephesians has been telling us that story from the beginning, thankfully without Karl Stefanovic and another rose ceremony. God's story about us is one of total transformation, a story about overcoming all the odds. But my guess is most of us don't even realise that we're not paying attention to the stories that we're hearing. So let me remind you of the obstacles we face so far. Let me remind you of our common adversity. See it with me, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. God says we were dead, controlled by our adversary, deserving of God's wrath. Death. Pretty hard obstacle to overcome, isn't it? Pretty hard to come back from, a big hurdle to jump over. I can't think of a bigger setback than death. Can you? But God's story has a happy ending. There's a transformation that's taken place, and it's even bigger than the latest reveal, more surprising than the most recent weigh in. By grace, through faith in Christ, we've been raised from death to life. We've been transformed. Friends, we've been elected to be his selected. Against all the odds, we've been resurrected. God's chosen us. See it again, chapter 2, verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and God raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Jesus has overcome all the odds that stood against us. We were dead to sin. We were controlled by the devil. So Paul now wants us to start paying attention to the story that we're hearing. Paul insists the Ephesians start listening. Because if we've been crowned with glory in Christ, if we now share in the spoils of his victory, seated with him in the heavenly realms, then things can't stay the way they've always been for us, can they? Everything is different now. We're one with him. So we need to live differently, because real transformation, gospel transformation, isn't temporary change. It's eternal, and so therefore it's permanent. Ephesians 4 verse 17, so this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. I want you to feel the weight of the apostolic command here. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, says Paul. So it's not exactly a suggestion, is it? It's not here's a good idea, or have you tried doing things this way instead? Paul's not making suggestions or recommendations to us. That's not really the vibe that's going on here now, is it? Paul's insisting. He's speaking with divine authority. There's an element of command about his words. You must no longer walk like the Gentiles do. Don't be like the other nations. Sound familiar? Some English translations use the word live, but it's more accurately translated as walk. Don't walk like the Gentiles anymore, because they walk in the futility of their minds. The word walk, it keeps on appearing in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. We once walked in the ways of the world, chapter 2, verse 10. Walk in the good works that God created for us to walk in, chapter 4, verse 1. Walk in a manner worthy of our calling. And so as we come to this intersection of Ephesians chapter 4, 17, Paul insists with all of his apostolic insistence that we no longer walk that way anymore. Paul tells us that we need to change paths. Start walking the other way. Verse 17, so this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of heart. They've become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greed, and to practice every kind of impurity. Futile and ignorant is their thinking. They claim to be enlightened and educated, but God says they're darkened in understanding. Fools who claim to be wise. You ever met someone like that before? These self-proclaimed experts. See it there, they are separated from the life that comes from God. Professors of biology, but the forsakers of the source of all life. Experts in the humanities, but deniers of the one who's created us. Dead in trespasses and sins. Ignorant of God because of the hardening of their hearts. They've lost all sensitivity. Callous because they've been delivered over to greed and lust. They lack any kind of restraint. They indulge in all that's unclean and impure. There's some obvious similarities here with Romans chapter 1, verse 21, isn't there? For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or gave thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened, claiming to be wise. They became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. The parallels here between Romans 1 and Ephesians 4, they're striking, aren't they? Anyone would think it was written by the same author. Futility in their thinking. Foolish hearts darkened. God gave them over to their sinful desires. But the temptation for me at this point is to talk about how morally bankrupt the world is, warning you all of the evils of worldliness, the decline and the fall of Christendom, to tell you that the world's going to hell in a handbasket, and maybe that's what you're expecting me to say. But it's easy for us to criticise and condemn others, isn't it? Easy to point the finger of judgment at everybody else. I mean, it's not too hard to come up with current examples of calloused hearts and futile thinking and unrestrained sensuality. You don't need to look somewhere over the rainbow to find it. But that's not what this passage is really about. Not really the point Paul's insisting on here, is it? This story is really about how we used to live and how we must no longer walk that way. We once walked as the Gentiles still do. See it again, chapter 2, verse 1. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. No point condemning the world when we're under the very same condemnation. We were just like them. But we're not to be like them anymore. No point being calloused and hard-hearted towards them when we've been saved from a calloused and hard heart towards God. We've been saved by God's grace. God's grace needs to be extended now to the world. We were dead in our transgressions and sins, but they still are. Now, that shouldn't move you to condemnation and outrage. It should move us to urgent evangelism and deep compassion. The world doesn't need our condemnation. It doesn't need our approval either. They'll do what they want anyway. What our neighbours need from us, especially in these increasingly hostile times, is what we've already been given by God, what we've heard, what we've been taught and learned. And that is the truth that's in Jesus. The good news of Jesus raised from death to life, who now raises the dead to life in him. What they need from us is for us to live differently for them, from them. Verse 22, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. We've been created to be like God. So we need to walk with God and to be like him. Now, I know I keep on saying this, but think back with me to Eden, will you? Do you remember the story in the beginning, in Genesis, created by God to be like God, made in his image, in his likeness? Mankind was the image bearer of God, male and female. He created us. You remember what happened in the Garden of Eden? Having been made in God's likeness, we were deceived into wanting to become like God. We ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, a decision that's seen more evil than good for us, by the way. Now look closely at these words Paul uses. We were corrupted by our deceitful desires. Who was it that deceived us in Eden? It was the devil. So it's not surprising then that the devil gets mentioned explicitly in verse 27, along with words like darkness and light, shame and exposure. Even wisdom's mentioned there in chapter 5. Can you hear the echoes of Eden in Ephesians? All that was righteous and holy was lost because we were deceived by a cunning and a crafty schemer. Now dead in our transgressions and sins, corrupted as our deceitful desires were exposed. But now in Christ, the old has been made new. So we're to take off the old self and put on the new self. Again, the word isn't self, it's man. Take off the old man and put on the new man, or even take off the old Adam and put on the new Adam. We're to clothe ourselves in the new creation. We're a new creation, one new man. So we're to clothe ourselves in the clothing that God's now graciously given us to wear. So let's try on some of these new clothes together. I know some of you like going shopping. Dressed in the likeness of God. Look there, verse 25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbour, for we are members one of another. We're to put off the old man clothed in falsehood, once dressed in deceit and omissions, draped in lies. We're now to live like God. We speak truthfully, not with a forked tongue. We speak the truth to one another. We tell the truth to our neighbour because in the new creation, we belong to one another. But let's look at some others. If you're going to be angry, be like God in your anger. Not smiting people everywhere, but having an anger that is righteous. A righteous anger that does not sin. Let's not give the devil a foothold. Let's not give the devil another opportunity. Let's not be deceived by him again and wander down old garden paths. In the new creation, we're created in the likeness of God. A new creation. So let's be like God. Those who once stole things must steal things no longer. No longer takers of things that aren't ours. Even if no one notices. Even if we think it doesn't matter. Even if we think the boss isn't looking. Even if we think we might get away with it. In the new creation, we give of ourselves to others. We share what we have with those in need. We provide for others out of our generosity because God's been so generous in his provision to us. We give, we don't take. So what comes out of our mouth matters too. What we say matters because God's word speaks life to us. God is a God who speaks. But it's easy to let fly with criticism and complaints, isn't it? It's easy to run people and the things that they do down. Finding fault can be deeply destructive, but look there, so can bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander and malice. The new creation means that we're now in the construction business. We only say things that build other people up. Our words, they need to be beneficial for those who hear them. And if you're on social media, beneficial for those who read them. So if there's no benefit in hearing what you're saying, if it's destructive rather than constructive, it's probably best that you keep your mouth shut. You see, we're meant to be like God. Created to be like him. Walking in a different direction to everyone else, following Christ's example. Look there at verse 32. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Be kind and compassionate to one another, because God was kind and compassionate to us. Rich in mercy, he made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. So we forgive one another because God's forgiven us. And we walk in love because of his great love for us. Following God's example. Other translations, other English translations say, be imitators of God. But here again, the word is mimic. Mimic God in everything that you're doing. Like a little child copying your every move, we're God's little children. We're being invited by Paul. Actually, he's insisting that we play the game, follow the leader. Jesus, who gave himself up for us, rather than the old man, Adam, who took only for himself. Friends, be like God. Created in the new creation to be like him, to walk like him, and to follow his example instead of walking like the Gentiles and following our desires. You see, our culture, it's obsessed with reality TV. Because we can read ourselves into the story. Stories about transformation. Stories about triumph over opposition and obstacle. Stories that overcome all the odds. Stories about love. Saturates our TV viewing. It's the plot line of every reality TV show. And the public, they can't get enough of them. Ratings are through the roof on this stuff. But if you're still listening to what I'm saying, if you're still listening to the stories that you're being told, if you're listening to the story that God's been telling us, because God's story involves us, His story of transformation involves you. The new you created to be like God. This is your lived reality. And no one gets to vote you off the island. And that's exactly the story other people need to hear from us. That's the story we need to be telling others. Not about how immoral or how wrong they are, but how God's transformed your life. Tell the story of why you live differently. God's grace needs to be heard by everyone. All that God has done for us in Christ Jesus. Jesus, who gave himself up for us in love, who defeated our adversaries, removed all the obstacles and the barriers, raised us from death to life so that we could be his. In love, he's chosen us, elected and selected us. You don't have to have all the answers. Just tell them your story of transformation, what God's done for you in Christ. You know how to tell it? You're not sure about how to tell your story? If you were here last week, you remember I told you it's my job to help you do it. Come and see me. We'll tell your story together. Let's pray. Gracious God, we want to thank you that you have called us from death to life. Just as your Son, the Lord Jesus, died and rose again, so now we are alive, made new, anew, the new creation, raised to be like you. Help us now, we pray, Heavenly Father, to walk like you, to live lives of transformation, to no longer be the same as we once were, to no longer be like the people around us, but to live differently. Live and to walk in your likeness, Lord Jesus, that others might see and hear that we are different because of all that you have done for us. Help us, Heavenly Father, to speak a word of transformation, how you have changed us, so that others might see and come to know that they too can be called from darkness into the kingdom of the Son that you love. We ask these things in his precious name. Amen.